Welcome everyone to this last oral argument in our January 26, 2023 panel of the Minnesota Court of Appeals. The case we have for argument is Ag Country Farm Credit Services versus Tri-County Livestock Exchange. Counsel, each of you will have 15 minutes to present your argument with an additional 5 minutes for appellant's counsel if you'd like to use that time for rebuttal. Please state your name as you commence each leg of your argument. Even though we can see each other, we're only making an audio recording of the proceedings. Counsel for appellant, whenever you are ready to proceed, you may.
Thank you. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is attorney Drew Hushka, and I'm representing appellant Ag Country Farm Credit Services in this appeal. This appeal requires the court to determine whether the district court erred in granting summary judgment by holding Ag Country could not maintain its conversion claim against respondent because Ag Country has settled its dischargeability claim and only its dischargeability claim against the Beckers. Because this appeal rises from a grant of summary judgment and because the parties agree there is no genuine dispute of material fact, this court reviews that decision de novo. Now, although the parties agree that there is no genuine dispute of material fact, I will begin briefly with a summary of the record before this court. Sean and Emily Becker were obligated to Ag Country on a series of loans. When the Beckers defaulted, Ag Country obtained a judgment against the Beckers related to that default. The Beckers then filed for bankruptcy, scheduling their judgment debt to Ag Country. Ag Country initiated an adversary action against the Beckers to have that judgment debt declared non-dischargeable. The non-dischargeability of the Beckers' judgment debt was the only claim at issue in that adversary action. Eventually, the Beckers and Ag Country resolved that adversary action through an agreement, the adversary agreement. Under the plain terms of the agreement only resolved, quote, all claims in the above titled adversary action without further litigation, end quote. Ag Country in this case pursues a conversion claim against Tri-County related to the sale of cattle by the Beckers through Tri-County. Below, Tri-County argued that the adversary agreement with the Beckers prevents Ag Country from pursuing a conversion claim against Tri-County. The district court agreed, and Ag Country now appeals to this court. Now, the decision below, as outlined in pages 15 and 16 of the addendum, the district court granted summary judgment because, quote, by resolving its debt against the Beckers via a settlement agreement for $50,000, the court holds that Ag Country also extinguished potential claims for a conversion against Tri-County, which arise from and are completely dependent on a valid case against the Beckers, end quote. The problem with this reasoning of the district court is it's an error. The adversary agreement under its plain terms did not resolve the Beckers' debt to Ag Country. It only resolved the dischargeability of that debt. Indeed, Ag Country admits that the adversary agreement did not resolve the Beckers' debt to Ag Country. As outlined on page 21 of respondent's brief, quote, as happened here, it is not a satisfaction of the debt, but rather a separate release of the security agreement upon which the conversion claim is derived that extinguishes the conversion claim, end quote. So essentially, Tri-County is admitting that the rationale, the reasoning for the district court in granting summary judgment in this case was an error.
Mr. Hushka?
Yes.
So as I understand it, you're drawing a distinction between the legal question of the dischargeability of the debt, which was resolved in the bankruptcy proceeding by the settlement agreement, or the adversary agreement, however you want to refer to it, and the legal question of whether an enforceable debt with security interest still exists as to the third party. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I understand your question, I guess, Judge.
It seemed to me that in your briefing, you tried to draw a distinction between the question of dischargeability versus the question of whether the debt continues to exist and is secured.
Correct, Your Honor. And that's not a distinction, I guess, that I'm drawing. It's a distinction that this court has drawn, as outlined in the PV decision that we cite in our briefs. There's a difference between a dischargeability of this of a debt, which this court has held. A dischargeability in bankruptcy does not affect the validity of a debt itself. It simply provides a personal defense to the debtor related to that debt. But for third-party purposes, such as Tri-County in this case, that debt remains valid and enforceable, as opposed to a full settlement of the underlying debt, a resolution of the debt, which Ag Country would agree would prevent it from pursuing a conversion claim against Tri-County.
It seems to me that one of the key points of your opposing counsel's argument is that the language used in the settlement agreement talked about releasing the UCC liens. So if you could just speak to why that language doesn't impact their third party, doesn't the third party liability. I think that would be helpful.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I would again direct the court to the PV case that we cited as one of the opposite cases in our brief, 524 Northwestern 2nd, 739, a 1994 decision of this court. In that case, Frost State Bank was a creditor who had sued the elevator for the alleged conversion of collateral of the debtor's crops. The creditor held a security interest in those crops, and the debtor later filed for a Chapter 12 bankruptcy. Now, in the Chapter 12 bankruptcy, a farm bankruptcy, there's more of a reorganization and there's a plan that moves the debtor forward and eventually out of bankruptcy. In that Chapter 12 plan, the Chapter 12 plan had the creditor, had Frost State Bank dropping its security interest, dropping its lien in the collateral of the debtor at that point. When Frost State Bank continued to sue the elevator and conversion, the elevator argued that because the Chapter 12 plan released the lien and because the bank did not object to the Chapter 12 plan, that that release of the lien prevented a continuance of the conversion claim. This court disagreed. This court said that that the debt was still there. It was merely discharged in bankruptcy and, quote, whether the bank waived its lien against the debtor is immaterial to the bank's cause of action against the elevator, end quote. That's at 742. It's simply this court held that because there was a valid security interest in the time at the time of the alleged conversion, that although something had happened later in the bankruptcy that potentially affected the validity of that lien going forward, that that discharge or that release of the lien going forward did not affect the claim, did not affect the conversion claim as it related to the elevator at the time of the alleged conversion.
Here the settlement required the bank to release its UCC filings other than to the extent necessary to support a third-party conversion claim. So this may sound sort of dense, but how does that work practically when, you know, a bank has agreed to release its UCC filings except for as they may relate to something else?
Your Honor, and that stems for as it relates to how the bankruptcy treats property interests as opposed to debts. The bankruptcy does not generally, especially under Chapter 7 as it relates here, cannot affect the property interest. So it cannot strip off Egg Country security interest as it relates to the creditor. And so gets to be a bit cloudy of what happens going forward when there's a discharge, but there still remains these continuing and ongoing security collateral agreements and everything else. So this was simply a method of saying that, you know, from here on out, after this discharge, Egg Country is not going to have a continuing security interest in the crops of the Beckers as they go forward, or the cattle of the Beckers, or the various different property that was listed in there, but that it would still be able to maintain its security interest to have its collateral as it would be required to support its claims, such as against Tri-County or any other alleged third party.
Yeah, I understand that's what the agreement says, but just practically speaking, how do you release a lien, kind of?
Essentially, Your Honor, it would be, again, for a UCC-1 or a central filing, you don't file a renewal or you don't continue to file the various documents that you would need to continue or to maintain perfection as it relates to the collateral. And again, none of the cases cited by Tri-County in this case do hold or do provide that such an agreement or such a partial release would prevent a third-party conversion claim. The first case relied on by Tri-County is the H&S contracting case. This court's decision in that case related to the lack of perfection in the collateral, the security interest in the collateral at issue. Again, in this case, Tri-County admits in their respondent's brief at two, that Tri-County or that Egg Country, had perfected its security interest at the collateral at issue at the time of the alleged conversion here. So again, H&S contracting is not applicable in this case. The other cases relied by Tri-County, the Prairie Sun Bank versus Boraboom, Farmer State Bank of Devlin versus Eastern Farmers Elevator, Austin Farm Center versus Austin Grain Co. All of those cases were decided when a creditor settled with the debtor the actual debt, the actual claims, the underlying debts with the debtor. This court in all three of those cases held that when a creditor settles and resolves a debt with a debtor, that a creditor cannot maintain a third-party conversion claim against a third party. And again, that's not the factual situation that we have in this case. In this case, the debt is still out there. There was never a resolution of the Becker's debt to Ag Country. It still exists to this day. There is simply, Ag Country cannot seek to recover on that debt by virtue of the Becker's discharge in bankruptcy. As held by this court in Peavey, that discharge in bankruptcy does not affect the validity of Ag Country's conversion claim against Tri-County as it relates to this case. Your Honors, I understand I've got a little bit of time here and I have my rebuttal. I don't want to just repeat myself. And so I'm going to approach the end of mine. And what I want to conclude my argument with
Before you conclude, yes. do you agree that there are no disputed issues of material facts?
Your Honor, I believe that this is a contractual case and that the language of the contract, I don't believe the parties have identified any ambiguity, which would be the only potential basis for a dispute of material fact. And absent such ambiguity, I think the parties are in agreement that there's no dispute of material fact.
All right. So we're just looking purely at the legal issue of whether the debt was resolved by the settlement.
That is our position. That is our argument. Yes. Now, in all the cases decided by this court that relate to settlement acting as a bar of conversion claim, the rationale has been that by a creditor voluntarily accepting a recovery on that debt from a debtor, even when that recovery is less than the full amount of that debt, a creditor is prevented from also recovering from a third party because a creditor is limited to only one recovery on a debt. That rationale is inapplicable to this case. Ag Country has not received a recovery on the Becker's debt. They did not receive a recovery on it from the Beckers. And by virtue of the district court's orders, if the district court's order is upheld, they would also be barred from receiving any recovery from Tri-County in this case. Tri-County advances this argument without any rationale for why Ag Country should not be entitled to at least a single recovery as it relates to this collateral, as it relates to these proceeds. Accordingly, Ag Country respects...
I think they're arguing that the bank got its single recovery via the settlement. I mean, that's the essence of their argument, right?
That's not how I interpret their argument. And in the respondent's brief, they say that it's not the $50,000, it's not a recovery, it's not a release of the debt, that it's this language regarding the partial release of these collateral, partial release of the security agreement. As the court reads their respondent's brief, again, that was our understanding as we went into this. But as I read their respondent's brief, they don't argue that it was a settlement or a recovery on the debt. They argue that it was a release of these security agreements, a partial release of this collateral. That is what prevents Ag Country from recovering in this case. And again, I would direct this court to the Peavey decision where it says a limited release of collateral in bankruptcy does not affect the validity of a conversion third-party claim. And so, again, obviously, my friend on the other side, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm misunderstanding their argument, but that is not my understanding of their argument at this time. And so, again, it would be our Ag Country's position that they are entitled to at least a single recovery as it relates to this debt, as it relates to this collateral, as it relates to this conversion, because the district court's decision, because its grant of summary judgment would deprive Ag Country of even that single recovery. We would ask that this court apply settled law, apply existing law, and hold that the resolution that the settlement of only the dischargeability claim against the Beckers does not affect a bar to the conversion claim against Tri-County in this case. And unless the court has any further questions, that would be my principal argument.
Does not appear as if any of the panel members have any additional questions. So thank you. You will have 5 minutes of rebuttal. Counsel for respondent.
David Kirko for the respondent, Tri-County Livestock. So I will address in turn a number of the points that were raised by Ag Country in its argument. But I do want to start with a few initial matters. The first is simply that the district court did not err in granting summary judgment. The conclusion that the district court reached that the settlement extinguished the conversion claim Ag Country has against Tri-County is correct. And it's important to remember, too, there's been some discussion here about whether or not there were fact issues or not. There were no fact issues raised by any party below in response to Tri-County's summary judgment motion. The issue before the district court was a pure legal issue. and there are no fact issues that were raised about anything. So that's all that was in front of the district court, which is important to remember. So let's walk through why the district court was correct in ruling that Ag Country's conversion claim was extinguished. And it's important to remember here at the outset, what exactly is the conversion claim that Ag Country had? The conversion claim was, and that is the only claim that Tri-County, or was alleged against Tri-County, is based on the security interest. And there's no dispute about the security interest. The security interest was granted by the Beckers to Ag Country to secure a series of loans that the Beckers had received from Ag Country. And it's also undisputed that Ag Country's conversion claim is entirely based upon and derived upon that security interest, meaning that without the security interest, there is no conversion claim. So in assessing all of this, the district court applied the correct analytical framework, and this is set out in the district court's conclusions of law and its memo. And in this situation, when we're in a secured transactions context, the alleged liability of Tri-County is vicarious, and it's conditioned upon Ag Country having a valid claim against the Beckers. So what that means is that if Ag Country no longer has an enforceable security interest as against the Beckers, Ag Country no longer has a conversion claim against Tri-County because the conversion claim is derived from the security interest. So the central question that was before the district court was whether the settlement extinguished Ag Country's claim against Tri-County, the conversion claim. And that question turns on whether following the settlement, Ag Country still had a valid security interest claim against the Beckers. So let's talk about the settlement. That settlement was clear, and it was for more than just the dischargeability. Yes, the settlement arose in the context of the adversary action. Among the things that were disputed there was the whether or not the Beckers were entitled to a discharge. The basis for that adversary action was that Ag Country was claiming the Beckers engaged in conversion. They settled that. And what did that settlement include? In exchange for the consideration and the payment of $50,000 by the Beckers were getting a number of things in return. The adversary action would be dismissed with prejudice, ending their litigation. And the effect of that was the discharge, and the discharge meaning that there would no longer be an ability for Ag Country to collect against the Beckers. There also, it reduced the and limited the payment obligation of the Beckers to simply the $50,000 settlement payment. And if they didn't make that, there would be a confession of judgment for it. And also, there would be a release of the UCC filings. And when you take all that together, you understand and realize that, like many settlements, the settlement can include whatever the parties agree upon and contract for, and that's what they contracted for. And here, the plain terms of the settlement included the specific language that there would be a release of the UCC filings. And in reviewing that settlement, the district court was correct in concluding that the settlement did in fact extinguish the conversion claim. And why is that? Why is that correct? The agreement to release those UCC filings means that there's no longer a valid security interest claim that Ag Country could enforce against the Beckers. And without that, there is no valid conversion claim that can be pursued against Tri-County.
What about the language in the agreement that says other than the extent necessary to support third-party conversion claims? I mean, what I asked your opposing counsel this, what is the practical effect of that?
The practical effect of it is that they can't do it. And in fact, they've already discussed and reported, you can't do that.
So you can either release it or not release it, right?
Correct. And that was the point of the cases that were that were already cited here. The Prairie Sun case also.
So, Mr. Kirko, those cases, though, those actually have language in them where they've disposed of the entire claim, including the claim to the debt to begin with. Excuse me. I don't see, and maybe I missed it, and if so, I apologize, but I don't see anywhere in your brief where you addressed Frost State Bank versus PV Company. I'd like you to take some time to address that case, which was cited to by appellant. And I'd also like you to also address, you wanted to take us back to the settlement language. And as I read the complaint, that was filed in the bankruptcy proceeding, it is only as to the to determine the dischargeability of debts. And also, when I look at the stipulation for settlement, it talks about resolving all claims in the adversary action without resort to further litigation. The only claim that was raised there, again, was the dischargeability of the debts. And it was my understanding that the question of dischargeability is different than the existence of the debt and secured interest. So I'd like you to address that while also addressing the Frost State Bank case, please.
Sure. So let's, I'll address each of these in turn. So let's talk about the dischargeability issue and Frost State Bank. There isn't a dispute here that there was not a satisfaction of the debt. And in fact, Tri-County has never argued that. And the district court didn't rule that either. And so that there was a discharge here, we agree with. But the basis of the argument here is that the extinguishment of the conversion claim was not based upon the satisfaction of the debt. It's the release of the filings. And what's left here at the end is that, as in happens quite often in a lot of different situations, someone can have an unsecured debt. But going to the settlement piece of this, Your Honor, the claim that was alleged had to do with dischargeability. That was the nature of that action. But the parties contracted. That's what a settlement is. And these parties contracted to have a settlement of a number of things that were before them that were disputed, and to resolve that. And that's exactly what they did. And it has to be given effect. We cannot simply look at the settlement and ignore clear provisions of what the parties contracted for. Yes, it arose. Right,
but doesn't that take us back to the savings language that Judge Gaitas pointed to? You want us to adhere to the principle that we should interpret a contract to give effect to all of its provisions. And one of those provisions is the language that it releases its UCC filings other than to the extent necessary to support any third-party conversion claims initiated by Ag Country to recover on the pre-petition obligations owed to it by the debtors, the backers. So you want us to interpret it that way. Why wouldn't we also give effect to that savings language?
Because this court has already ruled that that language, virtually identical language in virtually identical circumstances, cannot be given effect. So the answer to that is simply that even though Ag Country included that savings language, that language cannot be given effect. Ag Country cannot do what the law does not allow. And that is what's happening here. And that's the problem with that savings language. And under these circumstances, it simply cannot be given effect. And that's already been ruled upon by this court in remarkably similar circumstances.
So, I mean, in essence, what you're saying is the settlement could have said whatever, but there's no basis for claims allegedly preserved in some kind of a settlement agreement if there's no actual legal basis for the claims.
Yeah, and the problem here is, for Ag Country offers zero support for its position of what it wants to do. There's nothing that's offered that says they can, in fact, have this release and then somehow keep it alive partially against others. There's zero support for that anywhere. There's no statute. There's no case law. Ag Country simply points to its savings language and ignores the fact that it's already been ruled upon that you can't do that when you have a situation where the basis for the conversion claim, that security interest, as against the debtors, is gone and settled. And I think something to really keep in mind here.
Well, and can I just ask, I mean, in reaching the settlement agreement with the Beckers, would the Beckers care about that additional language in the savings clause? I mean, that additional language wouldn't affect any interest of the Beckers, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Would the Beckers care if the settlement agreement said, we're going to release the lien, you know, against you, other than to the extent necessary to support third-party conversion claims? At that point, the Beckers had no reason to be concerned about third-party conversion claims because those claims wouldn't have involved the Beckers.
I can't speak for the Beckers, but what I can say is that what did the settlement do? It was a release as to the Beckers. And that's the fundamental key point, is that the security interest was granted by the debtor to the creditor. It was released as to them. That interest, that's the property interest at issue. Once that's gone, so goes the conversion claim. So would the Beckers care if they, you know, if there was something else? I can't speak for them. I don't know, but they certainly would care that there's a release against them. That was the resolution of this case. And so when the district court is saying, you know, the debt was resolved, first of all, the court is not saying that it was satisfied, but look at what happened here. Look at the circumstance. When this is done, what's left is there's a settlement that effectively resolves all obligations that as between the Beckers and Ag Country. But the key piece here is that security interest. And one thing I want to focus on as we wrap up here is to keep in mind is that this entire circumstance was of Ag Country's own making. When Ag Country learned that there may have been unauthorized dispositions of its collateral, Ag Country had a choice of how it could go about doing what it could pursue. Could pursue repossession or pursue damages for the sales proceeds. Ag Country chose to pursue the sales proceeds. But then Ag Country went on a course of piecemeal litigation. There was litigation against the Beckers. There was litigation against Tri-County. There was the separate adversary action. None of these were with all the parties joined together. But Ag Country ultimately decided to settle this, the adversary one, while the case against Tri-County was still open and pending.
Mr. Kirko? Yes. I apologize. I know you don't have much time left, but I don't think that you've directly addressed the Frost State Bank PV case.
Sure. My understanding there of why they are citing to that is about the dischargeability issue there. There's no dispute here that there was a discharge. What didn't happen there, as I understand it, is what happened in this case, which is we do have a separate settlement. We do have a separate agreement between the debtor and creditor that addresses the release of a security interest. That is a fundamental difference. So was there a discharge? Yes, they got a discharge. The key issue here is we have a settlement. The security interest has been released, and that goes, and there goes the conversion claim with it.
And it's your position then that it's impossible to release the security interest as to the debtor without also releasing it as to any third parties?
Ask that again to make sure. Can you say that one more time?
So is it your position that it's impossible for the creditor to release the security interest as to the debtor without also inherently, by doing so, releasing the third parties?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And I see that my time has run. Unless there's any other questions, I'd simply ask that the district court be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. Again, Attorney Drew Hushka for appellant. Your Honor, my friend on the other side was unable to differentiate Frost State Bank because he can't, and it is controlling of this case. Again, to quote from that decision, quote, whether the bank waived its lien against the debtor is immaterial to the bank's cause of action against Peavey, end quote. That is because, quote, Peavey bought the corn 2 months before the debtor filed his Chapter 12 petition, end quote. In other words, because the security interest existed at the time of the conversion, whatever happens or whatever partial release there is in a bankruptcy does not affect the validity of a conversion claim against the purchaser of collateral, against the seller of collateral, et cetera. He cannot meaningfully differentiate Frost State Bank versus Peavey. That is the controlling decision in this case. Now, my friend on the other side repeatedly said that there is case law that says you cannot have a agreement like the adversary agreement or language therein. That simply is not true, Your Honor. As previously pointed out, all of the prior decisions, the three decisions of this court, are that you cannot have a savings clause to revive a conversion claim if there is a full resolution, if there is a full settlement of the underlying debt. That is what the Austin decision is. That is what the conversion claim, if there is a full settlement of the underlying debt. My friend on the other side admits there was no resolution of the underlying debt in this case. For that reason, none of the cases identified by the other side are controlling or even persuasive to the factual situations that are present in this case. Instead, what is at issue here is what the language is. And I want to provide the full language. A country, quote, will release its UCC filings other than to the extent necessary to support any third-party conversion claims initiated by the plaintiff, A country, to recover on the pre-petition obligations owed to it by defendants, the Beckers, end quote. And so I think this is a more apt analogy if the court would indulge me for a moment. Let's say the Beckers owned 100 cars, and Egg Country had a security interest in 100 cars and eventually entered in this security agreement and decided to release that security interest other than to the extent of pre-petition obligations or third-party conversion claims. I think the court would have no problem understanding that that released the security claim as it relates to 99 of the cars, but not as it relates to the Beckers and the third party, as it relates to that one car necessary still to maintain a third-party conversion claim. Nothing in the language here says that A country is totally and unconditionally releasing its UCC filings as it relates to the Beckers. It's releasing those UCC filings other than to the extent necessary to maintain its third-party conversion claim. So to the extent that this court wants to picture that as A country still maintaining its claims as it relates to the specific collateral at interest that was at issue in this case for purposes of maintaining that third-party conversion claim, I think that is what the court can view that language as. It's not a total and conditional release of any and all UCC filings. It's a release of UCC filings other than to the extent necessary to maintain a third-party conversion claim. No decision by this court has held that this type of language is not possible. That type of release is not possible. The only language of this court is that you cannot use that language to revive a conversion claim if you settle an underlying debt. The opposing side has not identified any case that identifies that you cannot have a partial release of security interest so long as you maintain an underlying debt. Because the underlying debt is maintained here, A country still has a security interest in the collateral necessary to maintain its conversion claim. Indeed, there is no rationale or justification advanced by the opposing side that would support expanding this court's rationale, expanding this court's jurisprudence to disallow A country's conversion claim in this case, in this type of factual scenario. I see I have a bit of time, but unless there are any additional questions, those are my arguments as it relates to this case.
There don't appear to be any additional questions, so we'll deem the matter submitted and under advisement. We'll issue our opinion within the statutory period. Thank you both for your thorough briefing and your excellent oral argument on these issues today. Very helpful to us. This is our last case on our oral calendar for today, so we are in recess. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Your Honors.